Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls Media Roundtable. On Sunday, an estimated 3 million people took part in more than 100 protests across Brazil. People are calling for the impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff and for the imprisonment of former President Lula da Silva. The country's top newspapers said these were the largest political demonstrations in the country's history. Joining us to discuss coverage is Will Carlos, senior correspondent for Global Post, based in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Hi, Will. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
It's always nice to have you. And on the domestic front, we are continuing our coverage of the elections. Now that Donald Trump will most likely be the Republican nominee, how should the independent media cover him? We have been asking ourselves this question for the past few months. Joining us to discuss coverage of the election and to help us answer that question is Will Bunch, an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and author of the new ebook, The Burn Identity, A Search for Bernie Sanders and the New American Dream. And Will has been extensively covering the election for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he joins us from Philadelphia. Hi, Will. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And Andrew Coburn is Washington editor of Harper's Magazine and author of Kill Chain, The Rise of the High-Tech Assassins. Andrew's latest piece for Harper's is called Down the Tube, Television, Turnout, and the Election Industrial Complex. He points out that the 2012 election generated about $7 billion for this massive industry of strategists, pollsters, TV ad makers, media buyers, broadcasters, and of course, 2016 will probably be much higher than that $7 billion, and we'll talk about where all that money is going. Hi, Andrew. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. So as we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note and highlight good reporting this week. So let's start with you, Will Bunch. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Yeah, actually, a piece that just came out last night, and I really think it's a must-read piece for people who've been following the Democratic primaries this year, and hold on, because I want to get the title exactly right. It's called What Bernie Sanders Achieved, and it's on the New Yorker website, NewYorker.com, written by one of their staff writers, Don Sanders, and I really think he does a great job in finding if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, I know it hasn't been the greatest week. You know, he went 0-for-5 in the primaries on Tuesday, and that was disillusioning to a lot of supporters. But I think he really lays out the ways in which Bernie Sanders has changed the political landscape in a positive way, you know, by making issues such as big money in politics and income inequality, you know, front burner issues, which they wouldn't have been really if he hadn't launched his campaign. You know, the way that he's brought in a lot of disillusioned people and a lot of young people into the political process, it really puts a positive spin going forward on what he's achieved and, you know, probably what he'll continue to achieve in the next couple months as he stays in the race.
Well, I'd love to talk about that later in the show because, Will, you wrote a new ebook about this issue, The Burn Identity. You spoke with a lot of Bernie supporters, and we are also going to talk about the fact that even though Bernie Sanders lost all five states on Tuesday, he spoke to supporters in Arizona on Super Tuesday for about an hour, but none of the networks carried his speech or even 30 seconds of it. They did carry everyone else's, so we'll also talk about that later. So kudos to The New Yorker's Don Sanders for this piece, What Bernie Sanders Achieved. Thanks for that. That's Will Bunch. He's with the Philadelphia Daily News. And what about you, Andrew? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I saw this it's a week ago now, but I thought Jeffrey Goldberg's piece on the Obama, so-called Obama doctrine was completely fascinating. I mean, I don't think much of Jeffrey Goldberg normally, that much of the Atlantic, you know, but I thought this was riveting stuff, that the, here you have the President of the United States. I mean, it's very revealing. He was revealing, well, he's really taking a tremendous dig at Hillary Clinton, you know. I mean, she was positioned as the warmongering, sort of the warmonger in his cabinet as opposed to his sage and Pacific intentions. John Kerry, nothing but rude words for the Saudis, the Israelis, Bibi Netanyahu to extend, the British. I thought it was astonishing. I've never read anything like it. That, particularly his his vehemence against the Saudis was obviously very cheering. And it was also very revealing overall about Obama. I mean, who's been president for the last 7 years? And yet here he is sort of, you know, complaining about all his allies. I thought it would give us much to reflect on about what kind of a president he is and what he thinks of his closest allies. Hmm. So, I mean, you know, it sort of really sort of rocked Washington, I can tell you, and caused a great deal of heartburn among in Saudi Arabia and nearby, which is also very cheering as well.
How did it rock Washington?
Well, everyone was sort of astonished that that he would say these things, and people were trying to spin. I mean, you know, I heard sort of people who, like, are paid by the Saudis to sort of advance their cause, trying to put a spin on it. You know, the Israelis, the British. He had to walk back the comments about David Cameron, the British Prime Minister. There was obviously a very angry phone call from Downing Street about that.
What did he say about Cameron?
Well, he said that Cameron had sort of egged him on to intervene in Libya, and then it kind of lost interest and left him holding the bag, which is, you know, probably true. But, I mean, you know, Obama didn't have to go into Libya. I mean, I should say that, you know, he says what a big mistake it was to intervene in Libya, and implicitly blames Hillary Clinton for that, which I thought was pretty interesting. So he's setting out, it's his plan for his legacy as a sort of wise Pacific president, as opposed to the warmongers who came before and probably after him.
So overall, Andrew, do you think Jeffrey Goldberg asked good questions?
Well, he just he just sort of showed, you know, 90% of life is showing up. He just sort of hung around and has somehow ingratiated himself with the chief executive. No, I don't think. I mean, I think his prejudices are pretty clear. And of course, he's never. Whereas poor old Judy Miller was hauled over the curtains, you know, forever for having got us into the Iraq War all on her own. No one, the New Yorker and Jeffrey Goldberg, have never apologized for an incredibly mendacious piece they ran back then, basically tying Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda together, which was a load of tripe, but that was quite important at the time. Having said all that, I have to commend Mr. Goldberg, former Israeli prison guard, for actually giving us this.
All right, so kudos to Jeffrey Goldberg with the
Atlantic.
Yeah, reluctantly, from Andrew Coburn. This piece is in The Atlantic, and you can find it online. It's The Obama Doctrine. Thank you for that one, Andrew. Andrew Coburn is Washington editor of Harper's Magazine. What about you, Will Carlos? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I'd like to bring some attention to the work of Stephanie Nolan. She's the reporter for the Globe and Mail, Canada's Globe and Mail, based here in Rio. I'm not sure how long she's been here. I've criticized a couple of her pieces in the past, but it's at a time of great chaos in Brazil where the story is sort of shifting almost by the hour, she's done a really fantastic job of keeping abreast of it. Not just keeping abreast of it, but doing, you know, what we call in the journalism business, writing with authority. And one of the things that's really interesting in Brazil at the moment is the contrast between the way that the local media is covering the sort of the fast growing scandal and the way the international media is covering it. And I think right at the top of the pyramid there is Stephanie. She's doing great work. She has a piece, I think, that came out today that is called Rousseff Backed into Corner as New Revelations Stir Turmoil in Brazil. That might sound like a bit of a mouthful of a headline, but honestly, given the complications of what's going on, that's pretty good.
All right, so kudos to Stephanie Nolan with the Globe and Mail. That is Will Carlos. He's senior correspondent for the Global Post. He's based in Rio, and we will put links to all of these articles at yourcallradio.org.